You're listening to America Votes 2016 on the Voice of America. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Welcome. We're glad to have you with us this early morning on the East Coast of the United States. It's 1 a.m. here. That means it's about, 10 p.m. on the West Coast. That sounds about right. I'm with Lori London in Studio 22. We're also joined by VOA national correspondent Jim Malone, Andrew Palcheski, following social media for us, and in the results center, our own Doug Bernard. Doug has been tracking this contest all evening long, adding up the numbers as we go. He has his calculator still moving there, and his computer and keyboard, and tell us where we stand, Doug.
And I just wish that I had results to report, it's particularly new results. So this is where we're at right now. As of about 1 o'clock Eastern time here in the United States, Donald Trump currently has about 245 electoral votes. Some news organizations are counting that at 244. And Hillary Clinton has 215 electoral votes. The key number, the magic number, of course, is 270. The first candidate that wins that, which would be the bare majority of electoral votes that are out there, would win the presidential contest. Now, obviously, Donald Trump is only about 25 votes away. There are still several states that are being held out as too close to call. Those critical states are Arizona, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and New Hampshire. Maine is still an outlier, as well as is, I believe, one congressional district in Nebraska. Nebraska allocates its electoral votes a little differently, just like Maine, so they always have to kind of screw with things just a little bit, I suppose. But as of this point, we are still waiting. I mean, nothing is going to change until we see some movement or some decisions in those key states, and particularly the states of Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and New Hampshire, I think at this point, are just crucial. Nobody really expected these states to be in play, Jim Malone, I would say. I mean, this was. I remember some pundits and analysts saying that Donald Trump was, quote, chasing unicorns by going and traveling, campaigning in states like Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. Well, so much for chasing unicorns.
Maybe there was a method to the apparent madness there. Yeah. You know, the other thing is a lot of these states are so close. You worry now about recounts,
yes.
Challenges.
Rigged.
Well, you know, I mean, if anybody was to challenge at least what we thought going into this, it would have been Donald Trump. Now it actually could be the Clinton camp looking and reexamining some of these races.
And we've got Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, Wisconsin, Michigan also close, but they're all right now slightly leaning toward Trump.
Right. Now, do we have any idea of the areas that have not come in those states as to what sort of voters
I
may
do not.
Be?
I think we were still waiting to get some votes from Wayne County in Michigan, the Detroit area, but I'm not sure it was going to be enough to make up the difference.
So I'm just going to take a quick peek at Michigan results so far. About 77% estimated of the vote is in. That's painfully slow, and somebody should probably answer for that, the Secretary of State there. You had asked about Detroit, which is the major city there. That's in Wayne County. There's about 85% of the vote that's come in there. In Washtenaw, which is right next door, which is another Democratic bastion in that state, they're estimating only about 15% of the vote has come in. So there's a lot still out there in Michigan. At this point, as Jim had mentioned, Donald Trump holds a bare lead by maybe about 50,000 votes, I'm going to say. I might be off just a little bit, but let's say about 45 to 50,000 votes. Of course, so that could change potentially, but that still is a lead.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is, who's ever behind here, there's going to be pressure not to concede too quickly, particularly with these states outstanding. This reminds me of 2000.
Really?
We were on the air, I think, that night for 7 or 9 hours.
Right.
3 or 4 in the morning. And we, of course, would not know for some weeks the final outcome on that.
And that was a contest where we saw states called and then
retracted.
That was only one state.
Yeah,
in Florida. Play. Yeah. And this, there's several.
I mean, New Hampshire is a small state. It could be a few votes either way. And, you know, who knows? But one thing it seems clear that Donald Trump has penetrated this Democratic blue wall of states that have been with the party since 1992. That's huge. That almost gets into political realignment territory.
Certainly exceeding expectations by any standard.
Yeah. And the fact that he was also at times at war with his own party. I mean, this is a remarkable story, what's happening.
Well, let me ask you, Jim, with some of these really close races, we do have other candidates on the ballot, third-party candidates, who are, you know, shaving off a percent or two here or there. Are they having an effect on this?
You know, I'm glad you asked that, Jim, because I was looking at this earlier. It's amazing. If you look in Michigan, for example, Gary Johnson's drawing 3.7% of the vote, Jill Stein 1.1%. That's almost, what, 4.8, almost 5%. And it's a 2-point race between Trump and Clinton.
And we don't really know where they're drawing it from.
No, we don't.
Which candidate?
Because Gary Johnson, being the Libertarian, could draw from either party and is drawing from both. Jill Stein is much more on the progressive side. And that is throughout all these states, you're seeing them getting 3, 4, 5%.
That's kind of significant.
It's going to make a difference.
Yeah, interesting. Well, with Donald Trump currently in the lead in the Electoral College race, we're going to go straight to his headquarters in New York City. That's where we find our own Mary Alice Salinas. She is live on the line. And Mary Alice, I think throughout the evening you have seen the temperature rising in the room.
I really have. It's been incredible. It's been quite loud and boisterous and joyful. There's tremendous elation. Right now, though, it seems a little bit more subdued. It's like the anticipation. They're waiting for the final states, those key states to come in, some of them that you all were just. So it's like something is a bit to get to the finish line. If it happens that way, it's just a nail biter. They're actually on the television channel.
Mary Alice, we've got a bad connection again. We're having a hard time hearing you. I guess it's because of so much going on where you are.
Yes. Well, let me see.
There you go.
A little bit.
Oh, that's a little better.
Back to me. My goodness, it's amazing how a couple of feet can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, it's just more subdued now. They're waiting for the final results to come in. People actually sitting there looking a little bit tired, ready to be done with this. I've also been talking to Trump supporters about why it is, you know, that, again, they're not surprised that their candidate is doing this well. One of them was telling me about how they loved every minute of it when Donald Trump was challenging the establishment, whether it be political establishment, the media, they loved it. He really, really seemed to be a channel for them to vent through. So that's all something that we're going to have to deal with, you know, after the election, again, whoever wins. But again, anticipation right now, tension a little bit quieter as they wait for the final results to come in.
Well, Mary Alice, have they had any speakers come through there, any entertainment, anything like that?
Well, I had Jeff Sessions come through.
Okay.
He's a lawmaker. Actually, it's so funny that the lawmaker Jeff Sessions was talking about how the Clinton camp has, people like Lady Gaga or Katy Perry, whatever, speak for them, but they can only cast one vote. I was listening to Speaker of the Reporters, and he said, everybody out there lives in rural America that has been angry and not happy that politicians weren't listening to them talk about immigration, trade, and other issues. They have a vote, too. So, no major stars right now that I have seen, but I understand some big supporters are on the way.
All right. Thank you very much, Mary Alice Salinas, who is at Trump headquarters in New York City.
And just down the road in New York City, we find Ramon Taylor. He is live at the Hillary Clinton campaign at the Javits Center. You know, we can't forget the significance of where she chose to hold her what she hoped would be a celebration, which not looking that way, Ramon.
No, it doesn't, and you're absolutely right. I mean, the venue that she chose, Javits Center, is a gorgeous glass structure, and the symbolism was amazing. I mean, if she becomes, it certainly doesn't look that way right now, the next president of the United States, she would break that glass ceiling, you know, symbolically, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen. That makes her campaign all the more dramatic in that sense. And we know that she's a very superstitious person. She had prepared both a winning and a losing script, but it still feels like probably a deep wound at this point and very early on.
Right. We can only imagine what is going on in the room with her, in the hotel room with her family and her husband and her daughter, and, you know, thinking this was going to turn out a lot differently than it has. I mean, what are people saying to you there in the room?
I think people in the room feel just as a lot of Americans feel across the country, which is a lot of just pure shock. Regardless of who you wanted in this race, a lot of Trump supporters conceded that they thought Hillary would win this. And that's because if you look at polls and if you trust polls based on past elections, you really thought that you had an idea going into this of how it would turn out, regardless of your preferences. And inside the room, that's exactly how people feel. It's complete defeat. And I want to admit, extends to part of the media as well. Mm-hmm. Part of it being the fact that they are shocked, they are tired. You know, this is a long campaign season coming to a crashing end.
And a shocking end.
Really.
Well, we don't know for sure, but it certainly looks that way.
And potentially, you know, very likely a shocking end as well, with many hours to go in the night. So that's sort of the feeling right now. People don't want to talk about it. They're in utter shock.
Ramon Taylor, this is Doug Bernard. If I may ask very quickly, are you hearing any discussion there about possibly challenging some of the results of these states? We're still waiting for these seven outlier states. They're all very, very close, some closer than others. But are you hearing any talk maybe among those who are gathered there that perhaps, in this case, Hillary Clinton should be the one who doesn't concede quite yet until maybe some of these razor-thin elections are perhaps recounted?
Well, it's an interesting question, and, you know, as we've heard throughout this election up to its final days, Donald Trump said this election was rigged. As we come to a close, who knows? That could very well be the case on either side if it comes down to a slim margin. We saw in one state the margin of victory, the margin of winning at that point was in the dozens. So, I mean, when you think about an entire state, just a dozen or so electoral votes really making the difference, in an election like this, it's certainly possible that we could be looking at some recounts or some very long nights ahead of this one. But at this point, people aren't really thinking so much of, you know, whether it's going to come down to legalities, that sort of thing. Will Clinton come out tonight? I think it's likely. But again, I don't expect it to happen right away. I think it's still early in the night, as weird as that sounds.
All right. Well, that's not encouraging, but we understand and we think you're probably right about that. Luis Ramirez, thank you so much
Ramon
for joining.
Taylor.
Ramon Taylor, yes. I'm sorry. I'm. You know what? I'm losing it, Ramon. It's 1 in the morning here and we haven't gone nonstop. Sorry. Ramon Taylor joining us from Hillary Clinton headquarters in New York City.
And
thank
as we're on our fourth hour live of America Votes 2016, is it still 2016?
I don't know.
Maybe
I don't even know where we are.
Now. We're seeing images on our TV screens of crowds outside of the White House. That's where we find our own David Byrd. Hi, David.
Hi, Jim. It is a little bit more calm now than it was about an hour ago. There was a wave of people shouting, you know, Hillary, 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 and some people shouting for Donald Trump. Now everybody's just kind of waiting to see when the next shoe is going to drop. We do have some folks in the trees next to the fence on the White House side, on the south side towards the White House. Of course, the Secret Service and the Park Police keeping a close eye on them to make sure nobody gets hurt. Most of the crowd here has settled down a little bit. There's lots of folks being asked a lot of questions, but nobody has any real answers because we're all still waiting for the results in several battleground states, as you mentioned. most of the people that I've talked to before, even some people who supported Donald Trump, are surprised at the way the night has been going. Some of the Hillary supporters are surprised and or disappointed. But right now, it's kind of the calm before the storm. We're all waiting for the actual result to come down. We might be waiting until tomorrow morning. Who knows? But right now, things are calming down a little
bit. David, it is tomorrow morning.
Folks are milling around, and we're just waiting to hear the final word here on Pennsylvania Avenue outside the White House.
Well, David, you and I have covered many a sporting event, and it sounds like a crowd at a big game that goes for one team and then the other, and then there's kind of that lull there before you find out who wins.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. We're waiting to find out the actual result, and some folks in this crowd are going to be very happy, and some folks are going to be very disappointed. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. Well, as long as you come back to us in one piece, great reporting out there. Thank you so much, David.
All right. Thank you, guys.
And we are keeping score here in the studio as to how this race is progressing. Things have slowed down quite a bit in the flow of information as the vote count here just seems to be trickling in at such a slow pace.
I see now
what's
stuck.
Going on here?
Hillary Clinton has a slight lead now in New Hampshire. I mean, this is amazing.
Were they counting them one by one at this point?
You know, one of the things in the exit polls, though, we're hearing is that people made up their minds a long time ago. Apparently, most voters decided several weeks. That means they decided before the infamous Access Hollywood tape.
Mm-hmm.
They decided before the Comey announcement from the FBI on the emails, though I am wondering now about that. The timing of that and I think the Democrats, if they wind up losing this, we're going to have some recriminations about that whole issue. That will not go away.
Absolutely. Although, you know, we've talked about Teflon candidates in the past where nothing seems to stick to them. And that seems to be the case with Donald Trump, where this message that he has that taps into the discontent, the deep-rooted kind of discontent that, you know, has been felt in the United States among people who feel like they're not getting a good job. They're not getting enough pay. They don't have enough opportunities. Government is too big. Government is not working for them. He, despite all of his personal flaws, he's tapped into something much broader.
Yes, and we met a lot of those people in the primaries and at the convention. Yeah, absolutely they exist. And he didn't seem as vulnerable as other politicians would be to some major gaffes. And, yeah. That's part of the story.
What do the candidates or their surrogates do in a situation where they've got thousands of people in this room waiting for them? Do they come out and say at some point, 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning? I mean, when does it get to the point if there's no decision?
They are waiting like we are waiting, though they have people on the ground in these states feeding them information, supposedly perhaps a little more advanced than we have, on specific counties and localities, trying to get a sense of where the race is headed. I've heard a couple of analysts here, well-respected, said they believe it's headed in Trump's direction at this point. But until these states are called, and there's too many states that are too close, and that's
How
why it's setting up—
How many do we have now that are close? Four?
Seven.
Seven. Mm. We have seven that are too close to call.
Wow. Yes.
Which, to me, look, in 1976, they didn't call the election till like 3:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because one or two states were close. I'm not sure we're looking at resolution here for some time.
And I think a lot of people were really hoping that the stress of the past year would finally be coming to an end tonight. But guess what?
No, it's kind of like having your daughter out on a date. She's late. She's got your good car and you're wondering where they are.
I can't tell you how many people that I've talked to, friends, colleagues, whatnot. People just over the last several months said, oh, well, you know, two more months, three more days, whatever, counting down as if it would always then just be over.
But guess what?
And I consistently cautioned them, you know, I said, well, let's hold off there. We just don't know. I'm not saying I had any, you know, foreknowledge here.
I think we can say no matter who wins, we are going to be as divided as ever. And the tension on the winner and the loser to handle this right is going to be enormous, and the whole country will be watching.
And to that point, Jim, we're looking just at social media, and one of the things that I've seen that it's kind of humorous, and I think Lori mentioned it earlier, is that the Canadian immigration website crashed because so many people, once Donald Trump started leading in the polls, went to that website. And I think it's fascinating. There are these two tweets that show up when you search this hashtag Canada, and they're right next to each other. One says, "If this revolts you, don't move to Canada or Europe. Raise hell and make this country embrace progress again." And the tweet directly below that says, "If you're thinking about moving to Canada, please do."
Oh, wow.
So those two tweets, I think it's that kind of dichotomy, and it's right there. They're right next to each other when you search that hashtag. I think that's emblematic of the divide that we're seeing, and we're going to continue to see after today and into the next day and next weeks and months to come.
And we have talked so much about, you know, what would happen if Donald Trump loses, because he had said a couple times that, oh, I'm not going to concede, and, you know, it just kind of further the divide. Now, on the other hand, you're going to have, you know, Hillary Clinton potentially in this situation, and how she handles it, how she comes to Donald Trump if he wins, will have a lot to do in healing that divide.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as I said before, we knew about half the country was going to be upset with the results no matter what. It was more likely people thought it was going to be one half and not the other. And now the tables may be turned here. And the Democrats, who had hoped to not only win the White House but narrowly take the Senate, some of these hopes are definitely on life support at this point. But, you know, the country is a 50-50 country. And after two terms of one-party rule by one president, we have generally flipped. And our friend Alan Lichtman at American University, who does this prediction based on 13 key components, he was saying a while back that he was predicting Trump, even though he put a caveat in there that Trump was an unpredictable candidate and did not fit the mold of traditional candidates. But looks like his formula is going to prove out to, it could be
right.
Prove
everyone
to be true.
Was following a lot of other calculations and saying no way, no way, no way. And well, we don't know for sure, but obviously this is definitely looking like it's heading in that direction.
Well, certainly, you know, Donald Trump has given a lot of people pause for the possibilities of any sort of reconciliation. You know, in the statements that he's made, and in just kind of his brusque nature, you know, the question will become: how does he reach out to the rest of the party? Does the party have to come to him? Do they meet halfway somewhere? And then, you know, how does he reach across the aisle? Does he even bother?
Yeah, you're right, because his situation with his own Republican Party was so questionable. You had many Republicans refusing to say at the end whether they're going to support him or not. Well, that doesn't happen. That's a strange situation. I think one of the other issues here, though, sometimes in a national election, when there's a clear victor in a landslide, the other side says, okay, you know,
Uncle,
you
done.
Got this
yeah.
one. With several states hanging out here, very close, probably it's going to be a reasonably close electoral count. I mean, it's going to be tough
so,
no matter what.
So would you say that given the number of states that are too close to call still at this late hour, that we likely won't know who wins tonight?
I don't know. I'm looking at, what, almost 6,000 votes in Pennsylvania, and it's a very narrow lead for Trump there, 48.7 to 47.7 for Clinton, with 98.5% of the vote in. We got New Hampshire, a small state, a few thousand votes either way.
Now, can they have recounts? If they are there certain restrictions?
Well,
on
certain states have, you know, it's up to the states how they do this, because remember, our system is there's no central government involvement in the sense of running the election. It's the individual states. They set their guidelines. Many states do have automatic recount provisions that kick in if the margin is sufficiently narrow.
Okay. Well, we are still watching the results coming in our command center here at the Voice of America in Washington. You're listening to America Votes 2016. I'm Jim Stevenson, along with Lori London, VOA national correspondent Jim Malone,
Andrew Palcheski is checking social media for us. I just heard a chuckle over there a minute ago. We'll have to find out what that's about. And Doug Bernard in our results center.
Clearly, I'm failing this evening because I'm clearly not able to produce the results. I guess nobody really is at this point. Everybody's kind of locked. It's around these several states. So really nothing has changed. I can report that the Republicans have officially now, with the victory of Pat Toomey, the Senate candidate in Pennsylvania, the Republicans do now have, or they have retained control of the Senate. They've also retained control of the House. So whoever takes office as president will be dealing with, although a relatively narrow, but a Congress that is controlled in both chambers by the Republican Party.
Now, we have an interesting situation here with both of these candidates. Hillary Clinton just turned 69 a short time ago. Donald Trump, I believe, is 70, correct? Mm-hmm. He would become the oldest elected U.S. president, at least first term, right?
Yeah, Ronald Reagan was 69. He was the previous title holder.
So that comes into question, how long can they govern for? I guess pretty long. Ronald Reagan went two terms.
At this point, let's get through election night and get to the inauguration.
I have a question for you, Jim.
We know we've heard from his doctor.
Yes.
Have we?
Yes. Well, apparently we
alleged. Never saw his taxes either.
That's true.
Jim, I have a question for you, if I may. The campaign really has always, the Trump campaign, and this is going back even before the conventions, which we were at, it seemed to kind of lurch from mistake, stumble, you know. And the more that Donald Trump would gain in the polls, there seemed inevitably to come a moment where he would just self-destruct. He would do something that he probably shouldn't have done, some strange Twitter war with, you know, some individual or something. And it was, and so, and there was a lot of changeover in the campaign staff. Then, just around the time, or just a little bit after, of the convention, they brought in Kellyanne Conway to be basically kind of head up, in a way, although Steve Bannon heads up. He's the official CEO of the campaign. And things seemed to change. It almost seemed that Kellyanne Conway was able to sort of tame Donald Trump to some degree. Do you see any of that? Do you think that that may have had some sort of effect?
I think in the last week he was very disciplined. He stayed on message. He talked about bringing change. This was always going to be the winning message for a Republican candidate. The problem for him was he rarely got to focus on that because he had so many other things going on. But, you know, I was thinking back into October now, talking to analysts, some of which we've had on the program. Donald Trump is trailing by the biggest margin at this point in the race. No candidate has ever come back from this far back in the polls to win. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, there were three debates. He consistently went down after each of the debates in the polls.
Yep.
She was considered the winner. You think, well, that should do it. The Access Hollywood tape, the allegations of sexual harassment by women, numerous women.
The investigation into the Trump Foundation. I mean, all of that. And you, Jim, used the phrase a little bit earlier, you know, the Teflon, nothing seems to stick to him. I wonder if some degree everything sticks to him, but his supporters just didn't care.
Right.
Not only that, I think people were, and we caught this in the primaries, people are so frustrated, and he was a way for them to vent. And they knew he wasn't perfect. And they'd tell you that. But in the end, all of this stuff didn't mean that much to them. They wanted him to give them voice. And I think we're hearing the voice war tonight.
And I know I sound like a broken record, but what we keep hearing on social media is Brexit. And this is the U.S. Brexit. This is kind of the U.S. revolt that people are making their voices heard.
And he talked about that.
Did.
He kept upping that. He had Nigel Farage, who is the U.K. Independence Party leader, with him on the campaign trail. So that's the phrase that people keep using. Now, I'm curious, Jim, if we're going to see maybe a greater political shift, because there's been talk of, you know, like parties like the UK Independence Party or Marine Le Pen in France, the rise of this so-called alt-right or this far-right movement. Do you think that this is maybe a harbinger of that, or do you think our country is moving more towards that?
Well, when he was about to lose, according to the polls, all the focus was on the Republican Party and how they were probably going to break apart after he lost the devastating defeat. Now I wonder where the Democrats fit into this, because they were sharply split. Clinton prevailed. We didn't hear a lot of talk about the Bernie Sanders supporters in the last week. We assume they came home, but the Democrats will have some questions to answer and some self-reflecting to do as well.
Jennifer Nicole Victor, associate professor at George Mason University, has rejoined our program. She was on a bit earlier, if you happen to be with us. If not, hey, you're in for a treat. Jennifer, welcome back.